This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 191 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, May 6, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler. I'm back again this week, my right-hand man, my partner in crime, my co-host, my backup, what else? My Robin.
backup buddy.
Marcus Couch. Oh, yeah, my backup buddy. There we go. Reference.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Nice to be back. Good job last week on the Women in WordPress show, Jeff. I caught that. Got the tail end of that live and listened to the rest in podcast form. Special thanks to all the ladies that contributed to last week's episode. It was really well received.
This is true. That was a fun episode. Something a little different here for the show. Usually we don't have women on the show, not because we don't want to have them, not because we don't actively look for them. It just so happens that there's a lot of men out there in executive roles or entrepreneurs in the WordPress sphere, and that's just luck of the draw. But if I have the opportunity, I will try and get more women on the show because that was fun, and they always have a different perspective on things. So we'll work on that. And Marcus, just from your perspective, you've hosted this show now for, gosh, it's got to be like 50 episodes now or something?
At least.
Least 50 episodes. So that was, I think that might have been your first time off of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it like being on the other side, being a listener?
It's about the same, except you don't talk to me when I talk back to you.
You're listening to the show and going, yeah, so, and then I interrupt you.
That's right.
Awesome. So
it's like when there are times when I've had conversations with people that are podcasters and specifically WordPress podcasters. And you get caught up in just listening to them talk. Like Bob Dunn, I had a conversation with on Skype once, Bob WP. And I just kept listening to him. And then like he was like, you're going to talk or what?
Oh, one of those.
Yeah. So I thought I better start talking. So, yep, it was an enjoyable experience last week. So thank you for the day off. But we are jam-packed and ready to go for this episode.
Yeah, tonight we don't have guests on this episode. I thought we did. A little bit of a scheduling snafu. But Dan Griffiths will join us next Wednesday to tell us his story on how he got involved with WordPress. And by the way, for anyone out there, I highly encourage you to go visit heropress.com. And the latest essay on there is from Dan Griffiths. And it's called Infinite Possibilities, and it's a really good story. And we're going to use that and dive into that, as well as all his WordPress experience on next week's episode. So tonight we have a bit of a breather here where we'll be able to talk about some things going on in the WordPress community. But before we get to that, we actually have an iTunes review that we want to read and go through. In fact, it's going to take both of us to get through this because it's so long, but it's a great one. Mm-hmm. And it's... it was submitted in April from Dr. J. So that's a great name. Instead of Dr. J, it's Dr. J. And the title of this review is Must Hear from Beginner to Veteran Alike. And he gave us 5 stars. So we really appreciate that. That's awesome. And he starts off by saying, I'm someone who works with WordPress, but I'm not a techie. I never miss this podcast. Awesome. Jeff and Marcus strike just the right balance of technical info and practical use, and I learned mounds every week. Their guests run the gamut of WordPress tech experts to general motivational speakers, and the host successfully directs conversations with all of them to points that are of use to the listener. This is a consistently well-hosted podcast.
And he continues, even when I was a beginner, I didn't feel like I was out of my league listening to WordPress Weekly. The show tone is welcoming and always conveys a sense of take what you want. We're all friends here, which is a great thing to do in the WordPress community. I've never met these men, yet I know they would be respectful and supportive of a non-tech like me. I'm so glad they do the show every week because they up my game. They increase my technical understanding They ignite my imagination of what I can do with WordPress. And they always hook up listeners with great plugins, product releases, and people to follow. Most podcasts drive me up the wall. This is one of the two that I never miss. I wonder what the other one is, Jeff.
Yeah, I wonder what the other one is. Dr. J, if you want, you can email me at jeffc@wptavern.com. Let me know what the other one is. I'd be most appreciative. Of course, you don't have to. We're just curious.
Yes.
But, Doctor, very, very good review. And hits on all the points that Marcus and I try, the values of the show that we try and do every week on this podcast. So I think this is the validation here. We're being validated, Marcus, which is, not violated, but validated.
So, yes. Thank you for your contribution, Jeff.
And this is a great review, and it just means that we're doing our job, and we're hitting on all cylinders here every week. So I love this.
Yeah.
So again, anybody else out there, if you listen to the show, if you take value from it, if you enjoy it, if you don't enjoy it, let us know. Hit up iTunes, submit your review, and give us an honest review of what you think of the show. Give us a star rating. And even if it's a bad review, we're going to read it on the air because we just love reading reviews. So,
yeah, and make sure you put your link to your website in your review as well. We'll read that, and you'll get a little link juice out of it too.
Yes. Yes, indeedy. So, you say you'll never meet us. Too bad. If you would have got tickets to WordCamp Orange County, you could have met both of us. You could have killed two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Of course, we wouldn't want to get killed, but yeah, you could have met us both.
Wherever WordCamp USA is going to be, then we'll both be there, of course.
That's right. Yes, we'll be there as well. So, with all that said, let's start off with the big story today is that in cross-site scripting vulnerability was discovered in Jetpack and the 2015 default theme, which, of course, a combination of those two means that it affects millions of WordPress users. Now, there's the vulnerability stems from an example.html file, which was left in the Genericons package. So Genericons are sort of like an icon font, one that was developed by some team members at Automattic and put into I'm pretty sure it's used in WordPress Core. It's used in, of course, the 2015 default theme and also with Jetpack. So any plugin or theme out there that uses Genericons is vulnerable to this because of that example, that HTML file. Wow. So the easiest, there's already updates out for both Jetpack and 2015. There's already a number of web hosts that have already patched it up, which is great to know. Of course, this was discovered by Securi, a well-known security research and product company. And so it's just sort of mind-boggling to think that somebody or a group of people over all this time forgot about example.html, and because of the way of the code or whatever was inside of it, ended up creating this vulnerability that affected millions of people and millions of sites. It's just crazy to think of that.
Was it an actual breach, or was it just a vulnerability they discovered? Did anybody actually get infected or hit with this thing?
As far as I know, nobody was. This exploit isn't being actively exploited. Mm-hmm. This vulnerability is not being actively used, but now that it's out there, it's publicly disclosed, I wouldn't be surprised if someone out there, some sites, start getting attacked. And this thing is kind of dangerous because the payload in this vulnerability is executed directly in the browser. So even if you were running Securi's website firewall, it would not be able to block the attack since it never gets the chance to see it. That's pretty dangerous. However, Securi has already virtually patched the vulnerability in their product, so you don't have to worry about that. But so it's a pretty nasty vulnerability. So if anybody out there, if you manage servers, or maybe you can contact your web host provider, if you haven't seen updates yet for plugins or themes, to do a check for example.html in the Genericons directory on your server, definitely get in touch with them and look for it and get rid of it, because it's no good.
Yeah, definitely. There's there's just a handful of these kinds of vulnerabilities that happen every now and again, and we're just glad that we can bring you the news about it so that you can check for yourself. So don't just shrug it off. Go into your server and your FTP or whatever and take a look and make sure that you're not infected with this, because it could hit you down the road and sooner than you think.
And also, in even though it hasn't been released yet, it certainly looks like, if not tonight, it's actually too late. So it might be tomorrow, Thursday, May 7th, where they're going to release WordPress 4.2.2, which will address that vulnerability and a few other things as well, including several bug fixes. So they're sort of packaging up a maintenance / security release. So it looks like it's going to be released tomorrow. No guarantee, but you know, keep your eyes out for that. And actually, WordPress, you know, because of the auto update system, and it's going to be a point release. Most of the people out there will probably, you know, if they did it tonight or did it tomorrow, and they didn't know about it, they'll probably receive an email saying, "Hey, your site automatically upgraded to this," and that's how a lot of people will find out. So pretty neat that, you know, websites can just automatically upgrade to these point releases.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, isn't this what we all dreamed of when we, you know, thought of software was automatic updates? Didn't have to be on your desktop, didn't have to do any of that stuff. So WordPress is a pretty powerful tool, but like anything else, it's got its opportunities for exploits. So it's good to see that we can do these automatic updates and prevent that in mass.
Mm-hmm.
Like a vaccination.
Yes, a WordPress vaccination. So WordPress.com, they have a marketplace on their theme marketplace where they have a selection of commercial themes that their users can purchase, and they're also part of the business plan. But they've temporarily suspended theme submissions from new sellers. So for a while now, you could get an invite. It was an invite-only system. If you were a theme seller, you could submit your theme on there. It would have to go through an extensive review, and if they approved it, that you were allowed onto their system. And you could set the price point. You would do a 50-50 split, and you'd make money on WordPress.com. Well, the submission form has recently disappeared, and Sarah Gooding covered the story on The Tavern. And there was a message on there that replaced the submission form that said it would be temporarily closed so that they could add new features to make the process easier. And in light of this, there's some people who were selling some products on WordPress.com, such as Mike McAllister, who is the founder of Array. And he didn't really have too good of an experience on WordPress.com. He said that the review process didn't take, you know, wasn't weeks long. It was months long. So there's a long queue. Each of his themes took at least a month or longer. And there's some other issues as well. There's a lack of communication between the WordPress.com people and the theme sellers. So I think what they've done here is they've just closed it off. They're going to work through the queue. They found out all the various inefficiencies that are going on between the theme sellers and the marketplace. They're going to work on those. And once they figure out a system where, you know, the queue is really short and everyone benefits, then they'll probably reopen the submission form, but it's not guaranteed. But that's the way it looks. They're going to try and work on that, improve the process, and hopefully they open it up again to theme sellers so that they have one more place to sell their wares, so they're not forced to just go with ThemeForest or some other marketplace like Creative Market.
Or maybe they'll never have a new theme ever again.
Maybe they'll never have a new theme ever again. Maybe.
It's possible.
So any potential theme authors out there that were, maybe you're in the middle of developing a product or a commercial theme thinking, yeah, I'll just submit it to WordPress.com. Well, you can't, at least not yet. As they continue to improve on things and get it launched, get it back up to par.
Now, can you imagine there's some theme developers out there or people who have hired other people to make themes for them for WordPress.com? And they're just not aware that this is happening. And a month later, they're going to be like, what?
Oh, no. What do I do?
Should have listened to WordPress Weekly, dudes. We got you.
Should have listened. You wouldn't have known about that. We would have saved you from a costly investment.
That's right.
So there's that. Now, in fact, so our guest that's going to be on the show next week, Dan Griffiths, he actually launched a $175,000 crowdfunding campaign to build a piece of software called HostPress. So if you're familiar with your shared web hosting account and you go into the back end and you manage it, and I'm talking above the level of WordPress, I'm talking about your actual web hosting account. Typically on servers, you'll find Plesk or cPanel. In my experience, it's mostly been cPanel, but I do have experience with Plesk so many years ago. In fact, it was like a nightmare. I don't want to remember it. Anywho, Dan Griffiths wants to shake things up a bit by adding a third choice called HostPress. So HostPress would be an open source extensible server control panel built on top of WordPress, if you can believe that. So he started a campaign for a lot of money. He has a concept image, and basically within this image, it's WordPress. And on the dashboard, you get to see things like your primary domain, domain aliases. You get to add a domain. You get to do some of the things you can do in cPanel, but it seems to be it's built within the WordPress interface, hoping to sort of tap into the ease of use or the something that people know type of interface to make things easier. And this is sort of interesting. Some of the statistics he came up with, according to BuiltWith, there's like 4.1 million or more individual servers running active license cPanel and Plesk installations. So if you calculate that number on control panels, assuming a $20 per month price tag and then dedicated servers using cPanel that cost $45 a month, there's about $82 million being spent just on cPanel and Plesk installation, just on licenses. So that's a pretty good size market. That's something, I wouldn't mind tapping into if I had the opportunity, had the wherewithal.
So just an update. He's got $1,000 donated so far. So he's got 58 days left in the campaign and about 174,000 to go.
So I asked Dan, how much demand are you wanting to see in the hosting space to think that this is something that's necessary? And he replied to me that there's constant demand for fresh blood in the control panel space. He says, just take a look at a few of the cPanel and Plus discussions online. You'll see a lot of people complaining about their various flaws or looking for a good alternative. He says, in fact, there have been a number of other attempts made over the years, but none have gained traction due to one fatal flaw, and that is they're all written by engineers. So while the underlying functionality is solid, the interface always sucks. So Overall, I mean, there's a lot going on here. The feedback has been interesting on this post I covered on the Tavern, to the point where some people have said that this looks like a great idea and they hope it succeeds. To there's this thing where people want to WordPressify everything, and this looks like a case of WordPressifying something that just doesn't make sense to do. All the way to the point where, well, if you're building it on top of WordPress, now you got to worry about security, XSS vulnerabilities, it's a CMS, maybe it's not meant to do this. And my thing is, if he's going to be successful, if this campaign is going to get funded, he's going to have backing from the web hosting industry. And I did try and reach out to both InMotion Hosting, which is a large independent web hosting company, and GoDaddy to figure out what their thoughts are on this project, and both of them failed to return my phone call or get in touch with me about what's going on. So right now, no web hosting companies have backed this project, and I would imagine that if there was really strong demand for this, if they were sick of cPanel, sick of Plesk, wanted to see something easier and have it put together, they would back this project. So far, it hasn't happened.
Well, because many of the hosts are going for a managed WordPress solution where these aren't required.
So that's another great point, where with the managed hosting space, the managed WordPress, they're either creating a custom panel, or they're really dumbing down cPanel, or they're doing something to where the user's not just stuck with the control panel they're used to.
That's right. So when you go to like GoDaddy, for instance, you just basically give them the domain that you want to start with. They install WordPress for you. They give you a staging site. You can turn it back on to the live site whenever you want to, and away you go. And you don't have to worry about cPanel or making a database or any of that stuff. It does it all for you. Now, that's certainly not your only option out there as far as managed WordPress hosting. There's plenty of other ones, but I don't know. I wonder about support on this. So I guess when we talk to Dan, we'll find out.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely ask him about it, dive into it a little more next week when he's on the show. But I'm going to rub the crystal ball here, or I'm going to ask you to shake your magic eight ball because you seem to be right on top of the thing. So if you shake your magic eight ball right now, what does it say about what are the odds that Dan Griffiths will have a successful campaign where he will reach his funding goal? What does it say?
To 175, I don't think it will.
That's what it says in your magic eight ball? I thought it would say not likely.
Well, it said 175K? Question mark.
Oh, man, fantastic.
I don't know what this 175 is for, but I would think that you could do this cheaper, and you know, Dan will correct me if I'm wrong, but that's a big ask for our community. I mean, Triple J was the record holder with the 50 grand, and this is way beyond that. And I'm just, and it seems like this isn't even something that everybody can use.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's something that he's just not explaining in this that's, you know, the diamond in the rough, so to speak. But I could never see myself using this, nor the average listener of this show.
He did specify that the money would be used to cover personal expenses, to take care of his son, and cover the server fees and salary of an experienced server administrator for 1 year. So that's what he would be. That's mostly what the money would be covering there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we'll probably dive more into it next week. We'll get more of the details from him. What's going on?
I'm wondering if this will allow me to pursue my dream and start my own crowdfunding campaign to get $80,000 to just sit in Laguna Beach and review plugins every day. Can I do that?
It's at this stage of the game, after what I've seen people pour money into the coffers for, it's there's a chance. That's all I'll say. There's a chance.
All right. Well, maybe next week we'll have some news. Maybe not.
You know, it's funny. I look at these crowdfunding campaigns, and I'm thinking, God, you know, I would love to have some financial assistance to get a new truck. I really need one, or I could really use some financial assistance to pay off some of these bills or some medical bills related to my pet. But, you know, I'm not going to do that. The whole crowdfunding campaign is sort of like it's like the ace in a hole. You know, it's the last thing I want to do.
It's kind of it's not like begging. It's worse because then you're exposed to everybody else, and then you've got that peer pressure of actually making your goal. And that's why I never went down that road.
Yeah, in fact, if anyone listening, I highly encourage you to look back through the WordPress Weekly archives, because we did a crowdfunding roundtable, which was awesome. And Marcus, you've told me before that that show has saved a lot of people a lot of grief, time, and money, especially when it comes to figuring out perks and making sure you do the perks to the point where they don't cost you the money that you're getting from people.
Here's the flashback example. John Saddington told us, he's like, at one point I felt like I was in the t-shirt business rather than what it is that I wanted to do, because I was sending out so many t-shirts and getting them made and fulfilling orders and blah, blah, blah. So,
and the money that he spent to create those physical products is money that he could have used to develop his product.
Yep. That's right. So
there's that,
for you crowdfunders out there.
So there's that roundtable, and also look back through the WordPress Weekly archives and listen to the interview we did with John James Jacoby, where we really talked about his funding campaign. And one of the specific issues we touched on was delivering on the promise of what you said you were going to deliver for this $50,000. And he admitted that, there's pressure there, there's stress, but yeah, so far he's past the halfway point, and I'm liking what I see. He's really cranking away on what he said he was going to do.
Was that for a year or 6 months? I can't remember.
For 6 months.
I think his time's almost up.
Well, it started in – well, I guess so, because I think he started in January, the first of the year.
Yeah.
So he's in his fifth month now. So sometime next month, the funding will run out, and I guess
we'll see. Triple J Crowdfund 2.0 come out.
Yes, maybe. Part 2. So great stuff there. Now, Marcus, I was checking your plugin picks of the week, and you didn't have this in there, so I thought I'd throw this in there because it's such an awesome plugin. But it's called Admin Menu, it's called what is this thing called? Well, it's a new plugin that allows you to reorder the WordPress admin menu using drag and drop. It was created by Pat. Is it Pat Berchler? Boy, I'm great at butchering names. So it's called Admin Menu Manager by Pascal Berchler, who is part of the company called Required Plus. And this thing is really neat. So if you look at the admin menu, it's one of the things that's drove me nuts for the longest time is I wish I could just do alphabetical. I wish the admin menu was in alphabetical order, because that way I still find myself to this day searching up and down, trying to find something. And I just think if it was in alphabetical order, I'd actually know where to look and it'd be quicker for me. But this thing takes it up a notch. You can, there's a little link at the bottom of the admin menu says edit menu. So when you click on that, it gives you this interface and you can drag the appearance up or down, plugins up or down. You can actually put these things into drop-down menus that are already existing, turn them into a child menu item. For example, under pages menu, you have all pages and add new, but let's say you wanted to put something else in there. You can put it in there. So instead of being a top-level menu item, it'd be within the pages menu. And it's pretty cool. You can move around the different, there's like two or three spacers there by default. By default, this thing is really cool, but apparently they're working on version 2, and some of the features that will be in version 2 will be the ability to completely remove and restore menu items, edit existing menu items and their icons, that'll be neat, and add custom items to the admin menu, which is nice. You know, something that would be cool with this plugin, if I could create a new top-level group or group things together and call it things I use most often or something short like that, and I'll move all my menu items into there, and everything else could just sort of disappear into some other menu, and it would really kind of clean up the admin menu look on the back end.
Yeah, my first question of this is, does it allow you to import and export your settings?
I did not see anything about that in here.
That would be key, because if you want to lock down dashboard, then you want to use it on multiple sites.
That's a great idea. So if it's not, I'll have to double check and see if that's possible. That was not mentioned in the review, but that's a great point. If it's not in there, if it's not available, I'm definitely we'll have to ping this guy, ping Pascal, and tell him, hey, you gotta have import export.
Yeah. Definitely. Otherwise, you're going to have to. I mean, how fun is this going to be that every site's going to be a little bit different from your drag and drops, and you've got to do that cycle all over again?
That's right. Right. That would be rather annoying. I love their on the plugin description on WordPress.org. I love this pro tip. Admin menu manager works perfectly to get Jetpack out of the way. Because, Jetpack is a top level menu item.
Mm-hmm.
Near the top of the admin menu. Like it takes precedence over everything else. I don't know why it does that.
Mm. So now you can shove it down to the bottom where it belongs.
Yeah. Say, get down there, Jetpack. Who do you think you are? So you can slap it down. You can slap it down the bottom of the menu. So the feedback on this has been really good. In fact, I've seen quite a few people say this should be built in the core. This should be core functionality. If you can move around meta boxes and other stuff to create sort of a custom layout for yourself, why can't you do that with the admin menu? I think that's a good point.
Yeah, that's true. I'd like to see drag and drops. Well, I had that plugins groups plugin review a couple weeks back.
Oh, where you can group plugins?
Yeah, I like that now. I'm using that now on a lot of different sites. So if this one, if they do import-export, I'm in. I'm all in on this one.
Oh, man, you're all in. Sweet. So we'll have to work on that. So we'll link this up again in the show notes. This won't be part of the plug-in picks of the week, but it's been featured on the Tavern. Really, really cool plug-in. And version 2 is going to be even awesomer. I just made up a word. So check that out. And last thing here before we wrap up the show, possibly with the plug-in picks of the week, is something a little personal that I wrote and I've been feeling. And Marcus, maybe you could chime in on this, but within the last 2 years, I've noticed a bad habit that I've developed, and that is when I'm reading content on the web, if it takes longer to read a post than it does a tweet, I feel like I get impatient. I don't even read it. And I don't really read content anymore. I skim it. I've turned into a skimmer. And I think this has really affected my ability to comprehend, reading comprehension. I feel like it's at an all-time low. And I feel like it's negatively impacted my ability to write because I'm writing about things I'm not comprehending because I didn't really take the time to really read it and go through the process and connect the dots. So I just wonder, you know, have I become part of this too long didn't read or too long don't read movement where, you know, you see a lot of this acronym TLDR everywhere saying, no, it's too long, don't read. Is it just me becoming impatient? Am I developing attention deficit disorder? What do you think is going on with me, Dr. Marcus?
I think you're losing sight of your audience because, like me, I mean, I have to go and test plugins and install them, and some of them suck, and the ones that I bring to the show are the good ones, right? So if I just relied on a screenshot or a description or something like that, then I'm cheating my audience. I'm cheating the people that I'm trying to convey this information to. So you need to think of it the same way. Not that I'm saying you're cheating anybody because your content's already great, but think of how much better that could be if you really dove in deep rather than just kind of peeling back a few layers and trying to create content from there.
So you're saying stop, be patient, read, comprehend, and then explain that information in an easier way to my audience.
Yeah, trim the fat and get right to the meat and deliver that to the audience.
Say, hey, look, I read this. This is important, but this is what you really need to know.
Yeah, your biggest takeaways.
So there's that, and I came up with a couple other things I need to do. I need to stop letting notifications take my attention away from whatever it is I'm doing. Sometimes I get in this cycle of responding to Twitter, then Facebook, then email, then back to Twitter, and it's like Tasmanian Devil in one spot, and I'm not really accomplishing anything, and I'm involved in this endless cycle of interruptions, which also hampers my ability to comprehend and dive deep into an article. So I've really been trying really hard to get rid of the social media and just have that post in front of me and read it line by line and take my time and go slow. But it's a process, and I have to try and undo this wiring that's taking place in my head to stop being a skimmer and start being a comprehensive reader. And it's not easy.
Yeah. And there are tools for that too. I don't know. Are you PC or Mac? I can't remember.
I am PC and Mac.
Okay. So on the PC, there was actually a Chrome add-in. I know you use Firefox, but there's the one for Firefox. I can't recall the name of it, but the Chrome extension is called Morphine, and just like the drug. And you can tell Morphine, okay, look, in my bank, every 15 minutes, I get 1 minute worth of social time on these sites that are otherwise blacklisted. So if you go to Twitter, it's going to say how many minutes you want to look at Twitter. And you can pick 1, 3, 5, whatever. And you'd be surprised as to what you can get done in 1 minute on Twitter.
Yeah, when I'm up against the clock, right?
Right, exactly. It'll still let you click through and you can read other stuff. But once that 1 minute's up, Twitter closes, man. It's done.
You know, I find it ridiculous that I would have to do that, but I think I've reached that point.
Okay.
I think I've got to do it.
Now, see, for me, it's news. Like, I had to block myself from news sites and all of that because it's just a total time suck from getting work done. What I tried to do, and it's worked pretty well, is only use my phone for social stuff. So if I'm going to go troll Facebook or Twitter or something like that, I'll do it when I'm away from my computer and just grab the phone and use that as just kind of a handheld social media guide. And that seems to help you a lot.
You know, there's that too, but the nature of my job sometimes requires me to be interactive, to be social. I mean, there's a lot of stories that get passed around. I read about that around Twitter and some things I pick up on Facebook, but it's just so easy to take a detour while I'm on those places working. And next thing you know, I'm on the other side of the tracks, lost 2 hours of time. And
yeah, it goes quick.
It gets crazy.
So fast.
All right. So I'll look into, maybe an extension or maybe a piece of software, maybe to help me out with that, or just work really hard to discipline myself and to get back in just taking my time and just trying to get rid of the voices and the external pressures that I have to be in a hurry, that if you're reading this for 3 minutes, it's too long. You should be doing something else. I mean, that's bull crap. I mean, I should be reading that, comprehending it, making sense of it so that the things I'm writing are better instead of, Gotta go, which is just, it's just crazy feeling that way, even though there's no one telling me, hurry up. It's just me. It's like a thing going on inside of my head saying, hurry up, let's go.
Well, the social interaction stuff could have a lot to do with it too, because that's a time waster. So you're limiting your options as far as your productivity time and what you can do with what's left. So then, yeah, naturally you're kind of kicking yourself in the tail and saying, all right, I wasted 20 minutes. I've only got 40 left in this hour.
Right.
I don't have time to read this stuff. And by the way, the extension for Chrome is called Leech Block.
Oh, Leech Block. So I don't know. Where did morphine come from then, Marcus?
Well, that's for Chrome.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's a little. Oh, darn. I thought I had you.
No.
Morphine.
Yeah, I had that stuff in the hospital when I had a broken leg. That was fun.
It was fun. Yes, I hear it does help with pain.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Let's see. So that's about all I had. I'm going to work on that. By the way, if anyone out there, if you feel like you're in the same boat where you feel like you're reading comprehensions at an all-time low, you feel like you're in a hurry all the time, and maybe you're part of the TLDR movement, let me know about it. Let me know what you use, your apps, your software, your extensions. You can email them to me at jeffc@wptavern.com. And if you send me a couple, we'll mention them on next week's episode. I'd love to share a couple things on next week's episode. So some of the other listeners out there, I know I'm not the only one that feels this way.
No. There's an army of people out there that wanted to start something and never could because they never had time, but they don't really realize that they've wasted all their time on stupid things.
Yeah, I don't have time because I wasted it.
That's right.
Oh,
can't
man,
get that back. That's the one commodity we all have the same amount of.
Yes, it's not finite. No, it is finite. It's not infinite.
That's right.
Messed that up. Anyways, I'm getting hungry here reading about your first plug-in pick of the week. Why don't we wrap things up here and give us some cool plugins you've discovered.
Kind of a weird day for hamburger news. This plugin is called Hamburger Menu, and I first heard of the term hamburger from Steve Zenget, from Zeek Interactive, and he's one of the sponsors of WordCamp Orange County. I sat in a presentation with him, and I didn't really know what that thing was called, those three lines in mobile.
Oh, yeah, the hamburger menu. I mean,
that's apparently called the hamburger anyway.
Yeah.
So this plugin will let you do a side menu that you can add to your site when viewed on mobile devices, or you can use it as a complete replacement for your current main menu anyway. So if you just want to go straight hamburger, this is the one. So it animates nice. It's widget ready, so you can throw widgets in there. You can add pretty much anything you like. You can customize it via its own kind of customizer, or you can adjust all the colors, the background, the link colors. Location and size of the menu icon, so you can upload an icon to use instead of the hamburger. And it has different animation effects and is also Google font ready and completely responsive. Now, I noticed that there's a lot of hamburger news because McDonald's has returned the new Hamburglar.
Oh, yeah.
He's out.
So and I heard he's pretty hot looking.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't want to venture to guess.
That's just, well, I just happened to see that in my trending topics on Facebook, and I had to click that.
I just know that the old Hamburglar used to look exactly like Alfred E. Newman from Mad Magazine.
Oh, really?
They did. They looked so much the same, but with a mask on. I wonder if that was an inside joke.
No, you mentioned hamburger menu. You know, you can add it to your site viewed in on mobile devices. I just had a speaking of mobile devices. What phone do you use? I mean, what mobile device do you use? Your phone?
It's an iPhone 4S. I'm still rocking the 4 model.
All right, so I have an iPhone 5S, mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, have you ever come across a website where on your phone? And just said to yourself, wow, you know, this is a great experience. I can browse through here. Things are fast. Things aren't in my way. Have you had that happen yet?
As far as a website, a mobile website?
Yeah, we're just trying to browse content, and you're going through it, and you just think to yourself, wow, this is a nice, smooth, easy-to-read type of experience I'm having on this mobile site.
Nope. That's why they make apps like like, what do you call that thing? Flipboard or other ones. I mean, that's really the way it is as far as any kind of smaller handheld viewing experience.
Yeah, I tell you. I mean, I'm browsing websites all the time on my iPhone, and it's either the social icons come down from the top, and then I have something down at the bottom, and it's creating this hamburger of crap. On my device, or I have a big email opt-in email box that shows up. It takes up the entire content portion of the screen on mobile. It's just crazy. The mobile experience out there is just it's terrible. It's terrible almost unanimously everywhere. I don't understand.
I wonder what a responsive Kubrick theme would look like in a mobile device.
Round and blue, round corners and blue.
No messing around, though. You get your content right away.
That's right. So what's plugin number two?
Well, we've all talked about the REST API functionality for WordPress that's coming. And there is a console that Automattic uses at WordPress.com, kind of the console. Well, this allows you to embed a short code in your content that will pull up a REST API console. And you can play with it. And do stuff. So that's it. It doesn't do anything else. It just pulls up a REST API console within the front end of your site so that you can play around with that and put some destination stuff in there and look and see exactly what you can pull out of the REST API database.
For the geeky side of our audience.
Yeah, it's coming. So this is your first chance to kind of do a simulator of what it is. So I thought that was pretty cool and worth bringing to light just because we've mentioned it so many times. Now, this final plugin is something that I definitely needed, and I don't know about you, but there are a lot of plugins that I install, and I'll come back to that site maybe 6 months later and go, why did I put this plugin on this site? You know, what's the deal? Why did I do this? Well, Plugin Auditor is a plugin that records the details of which user installed and activated each plugin on your website and allows a little text area to import why they install it or why you install it when you installed it. You can put in there little notes. Hey, this thing hooks to this. You know, we needed it to test out the menus, something like that. So what it does is it allows you to really just identify what plugins there are, and if you are a designer or developer or things like that, then this is a really good thing to install because if you've got a client and somebody else along the way installs a plugin, you can at least figure out who installed it and you don't have that kind of paper trail previously. You might with version control or something like that, but this is a really cool plugin that allows you to do all that, and it's really simple and kind of one of those why didn't I think of that type of things, but I think it's pretty cool. It's called Plugin Auditor.
I'd like to install this on my website and have you come over and I'll have it installed. You work on my website. About 2 years later, I call you up, have you come on, and you'll sit there on the phone. You'll say, I didn't install that plugin. And I'll say, oh, damn right you did. And you'll say, no, I didn't. And I'll go into the plugin auditor. It says, right there, Marcus Couch installed. And I'll bust you.
Why did I install it? Just to add bloat to the site.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a... Okay, that would be an interesting reason. But, yeah, this is great stuff. So, you know, we've talked about, if you want to go above and beyond that, you know, with an auditor, we've talked about Stream before, which is, you know, it was a plugin, and now it's turned into a service. Well, it's a plugin that connects to a service.
It was a monster. It was a data hog when it was a plugin, and I liked it, but it always stopped working for me. But the service now is the way to go.
Yeah, because now it offloads all of that processing power and all of that logging data is now off the server, which makes it much more efficient and makes it faster to use, too. It's helped with performance. But that audits, like, everything, all the activity that's going on your website. This just handles plugins and kind of gives the person who's installing the plugins an opportunity to get a taste of what it means to provide good documentation. Just as long as you remember to type in the reason why or what you were thinking at the time, because it's not going to do you any good if you install this and you keep that text box empty. I mean, that's not the point of it.
Yeah, it's really good, too, to install to a site that you've got maybe a couple of external developers working on.
Yeah.
That way you can find out which one of the knuckleheads installed this plugin that you didn't want to begin with.
Right, and then after you find that out, fire them. No, okay, maybe not that, but send them a screenshot. Hey, what's this, buddy?
That's right.
All right, so that concludes. Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up? Anything?
No. Right. You and I are locked in an offline battle between two epic teams, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Chicago Bulls. So
the Bulls.
We keep giving each other grief on Twitter and such, so it's evened up as of today, so we'll see what happens at the end of the week and the coming week. And I was kind of bummed out not being here last week, but it was for a good reason, obviously. My wife's birthday and our anniversary, so we had a great time.
Well, Tyler, I said happy birthday and happy anniversary.
I definitely shall.
Well, both on the same day. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And so I've just been – I want to share a story with you. Last week, I was at a conference for the International Association of IT Asset Managers. Long one, huh? It's IAITAM.org is the place. But they've basically kind of invented a term or a career, really, of being an IT asset manager, somebody who controls the inventory of IT for a company. And it's a pretty valid and responsible position to be in. And so this is the only firm that offer or only organization that offers certification for it. So now that you got the backstory, I went in and sat in just one session, and it was about like kind of a forensic analysis and what modern tech does these days. And they shared a story where a guy was accused of a murder and his alibi was, I was never in town. I was never home. I was never around. I was never anything. And he didn't have to have any credit card statements or anything like that. Nothing. What they got him on, Jeff, was the chip in his washing machine had a time code on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so they got him because he was doing laundry.
Wow.
He lived by himself.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So the Internet of Things is going to get you one day. But I just thought that was interesting to bring to the show here because even as we speak about the technical challenges and the capabilities that WordPress and all the plugins and things have, something just as basic as your washing machine is probably just as technical, if not more so.
It's interesting. We were talking about open source licenses, and somehow washing machines came up on Twitter. And I said, you know, I don't think my I don't think I have any open source license stuff on my washer. It's not connected to Wi-Fi. I don't consider it a smart electronic device, but I mean, it does have, you know, you could turn the knobs or do whatever for the different settings. I wouldn't imagine that there would be any computer chips in there, but maybe because it's all electronic anyways, that's how I do the knobs and turn the settings on. So that's something to think about.
And it wasn't a crazy tech washer either. It was just one of those little front loaders that you see at Home Depot. So it's just interesting, as I sat in on that panel, to see exactly what these guys were talking about. And that's one takeaway.
What was the was there an audible reaction when they announced that?
Laughter, of course, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And well, they set the story up a lot better than I could, but I was shocked, just as anybody was, and immediately went home and checked my washer.
Yeah, you wrapped it in tinfoil or something.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Unbelievable. Awesome story. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. Again, next week, next Wednesday, we'll have Dan Griffiths on. Looking forward to that show. And in about four and a half weeks, Marcus and I will make WP Weekly history by 1, 2, 3. Actually, it's in 4 weeks, June 3rd. You and I will be in the same physical building. And because of that, I think we ought to do a
history. We've done that before.
No, we haven't actually recorded a show in the same physical building.
Oh, is that what we're going to do? Okay.
I think for historical purposes, we must do a show while we're in the same physical location.
God, I got to look at you during the show.
No, you will be outside on the patio, and I will be inside your house.
Okay.
Or something. Okay. I don't know. That'll be crazy.
All right, that's going to be fun. And then we've got only 9 more episodes until episode 200.
That's right, where I'm planning a big round table. I'm going to bring back some long-time people who were with me on episode 1. So that'll be fun to kind of catch up on where have they been? Where are they now? What are they doing now? And so I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, the same week we're going to be together June 3rd. That is also the weekend of WordCamp Orange County. That's going to be a blast. Looking forward to that. And so that's it. So you can catch show notes for this episode and every other episode on wptavern.com. Just look at the WordPress Weekly underneath the categories drop-down manual. You'll find everything you need right there. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffR0, where I most of the time tweet about WordPress stuff, and then there's other times where I tweet about music or whatever else is on my mind. I just kind of throw stuff out there and see what happens, but most of the time it's WordPress stuff. And Marcus, where can we keep tabs on you at?
Well, the audience can help you out if they see you stray from WordPress topics on Twitter. Nudge them back. Tell them, hey, this is not WordPress related. Get off Twitter. Yeah. Thank you. You can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
Excellent. So that's going to do it for another awesome episode of WordPress Weekly. Again, have a safe rest of the week. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening.